battles. And you say, Pastor, why are you preaching from the passage where Christ rose from the dead? How many of you know one of the things which we sometimes need to forget is all the tradition? And look at it. What actually did expire when Jesus went to the cross for you and me? And what did happen when he rose from the dead? And I can tell you, the greatest battle of the universe took place. And I have good news for you this morning. I can wrap it up very simple. You do not have to fight that battle. He fought it for you and he won it for you. Amen. That's what the resurrection is all about. Jesus sat together with his disciples in the upper room. And he tried to get this message across before it all happened. But how many of you know when you know that your master is about to leave you and you don't know what is really going on, you kind of freeze and you forget what he just said. But this morning we're going to begin reading in verse 20 and we listen into that conversation. The Bible tells us that now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with the eyes and understand with the heart, lest they should turn to, that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." This was only the beginning of Jesus' explanation to the disciples what will expire in the next few days. Jerusalem was filled with people, by the way, at that time. Over 1 million Jews came to Jerusalem to celebrate what? The Feast of Passover. While they did that for hundreds and hundreds of years, the generations who came now to Jerusalem forgot the full meaning of that feast. And there are millions of people around the United States and around the world this morning sitting somewhere in church, but they forgot why they sit in church. We are no better than those people. The Son of Man, the Son of God in their midst, they wanted to come and see him, but they did not know why he was there. So I will introduce you to this truth, which can shake you this morning, and in a sense it is intended to. And let me tell you, I'm not going to apologize for it. Because the battle is real. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Jesus said, "I want you to know all hell is against it. Everybody is against it. But nobody can withstand the will of the Father." And how many of you could say amen to that? Amen. The battle started long ago, before God even created Adam and Eve. Jesus told once to his disciples, he said, "I want you to know, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Before I give you a little bit insight into what Jesus said, let me get you away from Hollywood first. When you go to the theaters or you watch on TV, all these fancy little things where some demons running around and some spiritual things are happening, just forget it. Hollywood has no clue what happened in the spiritual realm. That battle when Jesus was down here was a lot more intense than Hollywood could ever produce. If you ever want to find out what happened, you have to open up Isaiah. And why don't you do it? That's in the Old Testament. Isaiah has 66 chapters for those of you who normally don't go there. And it is known as the compressed Bible because the Bible has how many books? 66 books. So if you don't have the time to read through the whole Bible, just open Isaiah. You get a synopsis, a kind of summary. And in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 12, this is what the prophet foretold. This is what the prophet tells us. That's, by the way, 600 years before Jesus came. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, mark that in your Bible. When nations are being weakened and when bad things happen in the world, they always say, if this is the God you serve, I don't want to serve that God. Look the things he allows to happen. Read in the Bible who causes all these problems. Who weakened the nations? Is it God or is it Lucifer? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. People always say, I will, I will, I will. That comes straight out of the mouth of Lucifer. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, listen to this. These are the people who are not going to heaven. These are the people who are going to be at the other side with Satan. And they will look at him and say this, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the whole world a wilderness? Who is making this world a wilderness? Who is introducing sickness and diseases to the people? Who is destroying nations? Who is saying that innocent children can be killed? Is it God or Satan? And destroys its cities. Who did not open the house of the prisoners? Who tells the people lies that they are free when they're not free? It's not God. This is the reason why Jesus came. And when Jesus said to his disciples, I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven, he didn't talk about something which he may be or maybe not see. He talks about reality. The question is, where did Satan go? I normally say Satan landed in the choir loft. That's where all the battles taking place. He came to this earth. And if you ever want to find out when he gets anywhere what he does, read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It will take you 3 months to figure out what God says. And that's on a good day. He destroys everything. Whatever he touches, he'll destroy. And then Jesus came. That battle was introduced to us not by God, but by Satan. Long before Adam and Eve came. By the way, for those of you who don't know the name Lucifer, Lucifer means the light bearer. Lucifer, by the way, is the god of the Masons. You make a commitment to serve Lucifer. Big discussions among certain Baptists. That's not a discussion for me. We do not serve Lucifer. We serve Jesus Christ and him alone. Lucifer comes disguised as the moon god. And we call him Allah. Allah is not Jesus Christ. There is only one Jesus Christ, and Allah is not it. There's only one God who saves. And it is not the God of the Islamic faith. I may pay one day, and they may love to take my head off. So be it, I go straight into the presence of the living God. Who cares about it? That battle is real, my friends. You think you are insulated in America from this? Absolutely not. The Islamic infusion into the whole world is right at the doorsteps of the United States of America. And you are going to have to experience it yourselves. That battle will not end until Jesus sets his foot on the Mount of Olives and the whole world will shake before God Almighty. Yes, we're going to church and we play a little music and we say, hey, pastor, don't preach too long. I'm used for a 1-hour service. I want to be out of here because my favorite football team is playing. Somebody told me yesterday that the football game is taking about 3 hours out of your schedule and $150. Just in case you didn't put it in the offering basket, you still can do it on your way out. And I entertain you longer than that. And then a man told me, do you know what? They only play really for 12 minutes. The rest is all blah, blah. And you pay for it. So I'm not ashamed to preach to you 3 hours. I know some of you get really nervous. That's okay. Today I make it shorter. When Satan landed on this earth, God said, I have a solution to that problem. I'm going to have somebody who is representing me. And he makes Adam and Eve in God's image, representing him. How well did they do? Why? Lucifer, then. You can call him the serpent, you can call him Satan, you go into the book of Revelation, you will find out he's got a lot of names. It's always the same creature. Mighty angel, by the way, you have no power to go against him because he's one of the mightiest angel God has ever created. And you think you can take him on by yourselves? Some of his underlings are so powerful they can call in reinforcement. One of them can kill 187,000 soldiers in the Syrian army in one night. That's in the Bible, by the way. Nothing to play with. How many of you like to hide in Jesus? Yeah, it's the best place to be. So when God created Adam and Eve, Satan knew something is going on here. He went right after it. They didn't do too well. God had to step in. You know, when we mess up, we want to hide, don't we? I'm not going there anymore. Oh, no, 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 no. God had to step in and said, hey, Adam, where are you? Did God know where he was? Oh, yeah, he knows where you are. And God made a phenomenal promise to our grandparents. Want to read it with me? Go with me to Genesis. That's the first book in the Bible, you know? Genesis. Look at chapter 3. We don't have to go to the whole story. We don't have the time, but top down to verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, that's to Satan, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And listen to this. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. When was Satan able to bruise Jesus' heel? At Calvary. At Calvary. Jesus knew, he said, the time has come for the Son of Man to be lifted up. Satan will bruise my heel, but I'll crush him. He understood the battle. Why? My friends, the battle is not between Satan and you. How many of you know that's not even an even battle? The battle is between Satan and God. This is a spiritual battle. But since we are God's representative down on earth, we are in the middle of the battle. We are the targets. But it is all about Satan and God. And without getting to the end of the Bible, on the end of my sermon, I can tell you God will win that battle. He already did. What did Satan tell Adam and Eve in order to deceive them? What did he promise them? God doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to understand good and evil. Because he doesn't want you to be like God. And Adam and Eve said, that's a bad deal. I want to be like God. Does that sound familiar? Something which God said you cannot be, Satan promised. Listen, Satan is a liar, the father of lies. When he speaks from his own resources. He never speaks the truth. Never. That old lie, by the way, is still around. You will be like God. A bad news for you, you will never be like God. Hopefully you're found in Christ Jesus. And you are hidden in there. But he is God. And I read in the Bible that he will share his glory with no one. That includes you, that includes me. With no one. But the old serpent still comes and lies. And says, oh, I tell you what, that's not true. By the time Adam and Eve recognized that the serpent deceived them, it was too late. God had to intervene. Obviously, Satan never gives up. By the time we come to chapter 6 in Genesis, which we know as the Noah story, which most people say, well, it never happened, you know, how can somebody build a big boat like this, you know? It took him 120 years, try once, get going. No power tools, by the way. Yes, Noah built that ark. Where it landed, I don't care. It was only good to show us that Jesus Christ is our ark. That's it. That's where safety is at. God had to step in and said, this world is so bad, I take one family and start all over again. It didn't take too long before they got bad. I wish, my friends, that I would be a pastor of a church. Once you are born again and you come into the kingdom of God, you will never, ever do anything bad. Man, would I have made it. How many of you know that's not happening? Why? Tell me why. Because we still believe a few lies, don't we? And we take it. God had to step in every time. He calls Abraham and said, I start with Abraham. How well did Abraham do? God had to step in a few times, didn't he? Then eventually Jacob came along. The very name makes you nervous, the meaning of it. So God had to step in. He said, well, they're going to hide him. They're going to put him down to Egypt. They got a little bit under slavery. And then they started crying out. God had to step in. But it was in Egypt, my friend, when the Egyptians enslaved God's chosen people. It was there where God said, I am going to give you the greatest sign how I'm going to conquer Satan. I'm going to bring you out of slavery. And I tell you what, the night I'm telling you, you are going to have to slaughter an unblemished lamb. Take the blood, put it on the doorpost, and when the doorpost has the blood of that unblemished lamb on it, you will be protected when the angel of death goes by. What do you think the picture was? 2,000 years later, the real lamb showed up. How did John the Baptist introduce Jesus to the Jews? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God stepped in every time. You think after that they came out, they were so thankful that God set them free? No, by the time, I tell you what, you read to do the judges, and you go, whoa, how can that be? Evil, good, evil, good, evil, good, evil, good. God had to step in all the time. By the time he chose David to be the king, out of which lineage Jesus will come in the physical. David didn't do too good. Only took one woman to get him off track. God had to step in. And you think after that it went much better? God said, I tell you what, I'm going to raise up a son for David who is the wisest man that has ever walked on the planet. How well did he do? Oh man, he thought his wisdom needs to be used to go down to Egypt to buy horses. And with it come women, correct? And the rest is history. God had to step in. Everywhere you look, God had to step in. Then Jesus was born of a virgin. And Satan recognized something is going on. How did he know? You say, Satan knows everything. Oh no, Satan is not God. He doesn't know everything. But I mean, when the heavenly angels get together and start proclaiming, glory to God in the highest and goodwill towards man, don't you think all hell breaks loose? He said, I'm going to get that guy. I don't need that battle. And he looks for him, can't find him. Where did God the Father put him? Back to Egypt. Out of Egypt shall I call my son, the Bible says. And when that man who sought to kill him was dead, the angel said, go back. And here comes Jesus, growing up in the midst of the enemy. When he's 30 years old, he starts his ministry. And the first thing that shows up in his ministry is what? Satan shows up right there. Says, hey, if you are the Son of God, you can command these stones to turn into bread. Did Jesus take it? No. He didn't come to show how much power he's got. He came to save that which was lost. Listen, my friends, the battles are never won by us proclaiming how much power we got. The battle is never won by us trying to tell God how good we are. The battle is won through obedience to the Father's will. That's how the battle is won. Jesus could have turned his whole world upside down by speaking. He is God himself. He spoke the universe into existence. He showed us a little bit when it was the Father's will what can be done. Just before he sat together the last time with his disciples, he called out one name and the man came out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth. That's all he took. And Lazarus walked out. He showed us that there is no power on earth and in heaven that can withstand God Almighty. But there's one thing. God is always God. God can do anything he wants. But he could not get you and me into his kingdom and put his image on us again without paying the price that was demanded for disobedience. God is not a thief. He doesn't steal people. God does everything truthful. Because he is truth. He does do nothing in darkness because he is light. Everything God does is in the open. And so should be what you and I do. So Jesus shows up. And in chapter 12 of John, we read this morning, when they said, we want to come and see Jesus. What did they want to come and see? Hey, could you perform a miracle for me? Could he have done it? Yeah, wouldn't have said a single person free. I always say, if we could heal everybody in the world, what good does it do if everybody goes healthy to hell? Doesn't do you any good. It's all about getting a hold of you in that spiritual battle and winning you so you can make it into the kingdom of the living God. We're talking about eternal life. We're not talking about 80 years down here on earth. This is just a vapor and we're gone. It's over. For those of you who are 80 and older, you know. How fast does your time go now? When I was 20, I thought I had eternity ahead of me and I lived accordingly. You know, you never have to go and sleep. You know, you have life. When I turn 60, I go, oh my gosh, this time is running. I'd be home before I know. It goes fast. For those of you who are young, you'll find out. It goes awfully fast. I think I preached to you today, and tomorrow I think I have to preach again. The whole week went by. Jesus said that no one takes his life, but I will lay it down. I will lay it down. The battle won at Calvary, my friend, is not to be repeated, cannot be repeated, That's why Jesus was hanging on the cross. And what was he saying? His last words. It is finished. Since God cannot lie, do you think it's finished? Absolutely. There is nothing you and I can add to it. That's the good news, by the way. It is finished. Jesus died in you and my place. Paul later on tells the Corinthians in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Is that good news or what? Price is paid. If Satan would have known how God will accomplish that victory, the Bible says he would have never, ever done what he did. But God did not show it to him. When we celebrate his resurrection, my friend, we celebrate his death on the cross, because without the death, there is no resurrection necessary. I always say, if you are going to tell me that you are alive and well and you will go to heaven one day without Christ, you have no resurrection life, because only dead people need to be raised. And how many of you in here are sitting who can say, I have never sinned? Let me see you. Stand up, would you? You would be a superhuman being full of lies. How many of you have ever sinned? Let me see your hand. Don't look over. It's just you. Yeah, it's okay. Listen. The wages of sin is what? Death. You're a candidate for resurrection. Praise God for it. Every one of us is a sinner. And because of that, Jesus became our propitiation. Dude, that's a fancy word, isn't it? Don't you hate these fancy words? Take 6 words in English to explain what it means. I give you 1. It means payment. Payment. God's holiness and God's righteousness cannot overlook how sinful we are. Payment had to be paid. And Christ paid it. Let me ask a question, if you don't get it yet. Most of you owe something to someone. You know, like money to the bank and things like this. You know, you owe something. How many of you would be happy if somebody would come along and just pay it all? How many would be happy? Oh, okay, good, good, good. And that's only temporal things. How many of you would be happy if all the payment is made for eternal life? It's paid in full. But there's a catch to it. How many of you know there's always a catch? You know, when you want the loan, the Bible says, would you come in and sign? It's the catch. Once your name is there, you're done. They owe you, own you. You know what the catch is with Jesus? No, it's a gift. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Have you ever read Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death. Can you finish it for me, please? The gift of God is eternal life in? Ah, okay, you got it. The problem is, some people believe still the lie from Satan and are still involved in the battle. They do not accept the gift. It's too good to be true. Well, I agree with you. But it's so good, and it's true, because God says it. Jesus could have spoken another 50 years and told us about the spiritual battle, how it started and how God loves the world, that he gave his only begotten son. He could have gone on for another 50 years. My friend, even dying on the cross, hanging there and saying it is finished, would not have done it. What's the proof? Resurrection, that's the proof. There is no claim on his life. What's the proof that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? What's the proof? Membership in a church? Eh. Not going to make it. Having been baptized in a tank? Eh. Not going to make it. Your mommy and daddy were good Christians? Eh. Not going to make it. God has no grandchildren. What's the proof that you have accepted the gift and have resurrection life? What's the proof? New life. New life. You are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I used to walk a certain way. I don't walk that way anymore. I used to go to the bar and get drunk. No, I never did. Doesn't make me better than you. But I don't go there anymore. I used to sell drugs on the corner. I don't go there anymore. I used to beat my wife. I don't do that anymore. Why? By the way, I told lies. I never did these things. I want to keep that record straight. But I was not a saint. I know that makes me look so bad in your eyes. I was not a saint. I drove my parents crazy. Did? My mother told my wife when she met me, the son of mine, I could write books about the things the guy did. I'm glad she never wrote them. But my friends, resurrection life, it changes your life from the inside out, and it makes you a new creature, and the Holy Spirit starts residing in you, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are never the same again. That's what this day is all about. That's what every day is all about. Christianity is not about signing on a dotted line that you're agreeing with the creeds. Christianity is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the life which no one else can live, but Christ himself living to you. This world would be different if the people would finally accept that gift and would live accordingly. What a life it would be. John, the same John who penned these words 30 years before he penned the book of Revelation. He wrote in the first letter, 1 John, chapter 4, he says, verses 9 and 10, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we may have life through him. Listen, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the payment for our sins. He took care of it. It's done. Paul said to the Galatians, one of my favorite verses, if you don't remember many scripture verses, and I know some of you have a tough time to remember your wife's name, so at least take one scripture first. Galatians 2:20. Oh, it sets you free from a lot of stuff. What does it say? Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. You have it up there for them? They have not memorized it yet. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Listen, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Can you imagine Christ living in you? The creator of the universe? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You will never be the same. So, I challenge all of you this morning. If you have not experienced that resurrection life, today is your day. I can offer you the gift, but I can't save you. Christ has done that. But I can tell you, do not reject the gift of salvation. It is a gift from God himself. Forget the Easter eggs. That's not a gift. Unless it's Swiss chocolate. Otherwise, it's not. Forget the Easter bunny. There's no such thing. There were no bunnies running around in the Middle East when Christ died. Believe me. Unless it is a 4-foot Swiss chocolate Easter bunny, which they make, by the way. This is all about Christ paying the price for you and now offering you new life. And if you have not experienced that resurrection life, my friend, today is the day when you need to say, God, I played games with you. I never understood how intense the battle is. I believed lies. If you want to get rid of lies, let truth come in. Truth is light, and light will expel darkness. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. It's a gift. You have to do absolutely nothing except believing and take it. And then he comes and he changes you. If you are not being changed, my friend, you might try to play games with God. Don't do it. He'll change your life. And what you couldn't do yourself, he'll do for you. He will do it for you. It's up to you. I give you a few minutes as the worship team is coming. Take time. If you did not do that yet, today is the day. Don't leave this room. Or you don't have to come forward. This is between you and God, by the way. God knows where you are. He knows exactly where you are. He gives you life and life more abundantly. Just because he loves you and me. The victory is won for you is to come and experience it. And then let Christ do the work in you.
Reward, I cannot give. have paid my ransom.
We all can say to that truth.